The title of our lesson this morning is Not Any Old Goat Will Do. The text comes from Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter, verse 1. There, Moses, speaking to the children of Israel, said, Thou shalt not offer unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep, wherein is blemish or evil favoredness, for this is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Isn't it interesting that there's no goat found in that verse? However, if you begin to do some research on that verse and you begin to study some of the commentators, what they say is this. The word that is translated sheep ought to be rendered goat. Well, I did a little bit of research on that, and what you find is this. Every known lexicographer, that is those who translate from one language into another, states that this word that is translated sheep in the King James Version can be translated sheep. Or it can be translated goat. So sheep or goat is an appropriate translation of this word. However, when you look at all the major translations, the American Standard Version, the King James Version, the New King James Version, the English Standard Version, and there are several others that I looked at. Guess what? Every one of them translate it sheep. The reality is this, folks. Not any old bullock or oxen, or sheep, or goat will do when it comes to worshiping God Almighty. For the next few moments, I want us to focus our attention on Deuteronomy 17, verse 1. We're going to be looking at that verse, dissecting that verse, and making some application to us with regard to worship. The first point that we want to make is this. Worship is personal. Notice how the verse begins. Thou. Here Moses is addressing this passage of Scripture to each and every Israelite. He is directing this passage of Scripture to each person that is a Jew. Thou. My friends, God is concerned about us as individuals. I realize that you and I come together as a group. And we refer to this worship period right now as corporate worship. When the entirety of the local congregation comes together in order to worship God. But guess what? God is concerned about my worship as an individual. My friends, I cannot worship for you, and you cannot worship for me. I know individuals who have a habit of getting up in the morning, they dress their children, they make them look nice, and guess what they do? They send those children off to the worship service. And then mom and dad, they go back to bed. Their conscience, however, are clear because they sent little Johnny and little Susie to worship. Little Johnny and little Susie can't worship for mom and dad. My friend, your worship is your responsibility. Worship is a personal matter. No other individual can do it for you. Your husband can't. Your children can't. Only you can worship for you. Isn't that what is expressed in 1 Corinthians 11:28? But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. When you and I are partaking the Lord's Supper, it is an individual matter, is it not? I am sitting there and I am examining my life and my heart and my Christianity. Nobody else's. only mine. And you see, when it comes to final judgment, isn't that exactly how God is going to deal with us? So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. So, number one, worship is a very personal thing. It involves me as the individual. And God is going to judge me as an individual. My friends, everything in the world can be going on in this building. And as long as you and your heart are properly directed toward the Almighty God in worship, your worship is acceptable. Point number two. Worship can involve prohibitions. Look at Deuteronomy 17:1 again. Thou shalt not. Those three words involve a prohibition, don't they? Moses is speaking to the children of Israel and he's saying, look, there are some things that you cannot do when it comes to sacrificing to me. He specifically says what they cannot do in the text, doesn't he? Thou shalt not sacrifice unto me any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish or evil favoredness. That's a prohibition. You cannot do that. A sheep with a blemish, that is a physical defect. Maybe a broken limb. Maybe a severed ear. Maybe a blinded eye. Maybe an awful spot on one side of its body. You cannot offer that animal with a blemish. Well, what is evil favoredness? You look that word up in the Hebrew language and it simply means this: that which is bad. Whether it be on the outside or whether it be on the inside. You cannot offer a bullock or a sheep or a goat anything that is bad. It cannot be sick. It cannot be diseased. It cannot be feeble. It cannot be crippled. It cannot be the weakling of the flock. Anything that is bad, I do not want. My friends, God does not want the junk. God does not want the leftovers. God doesn't want the sick and the maimed and the blind. God wants the best. And if you come and you try to offer him the junk, that is prohibited. It's not acceptable. In like manner, there are still things that are prohibited as far as our worship is concerned. In John 4:24, Jesus says, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? To worship God in truth. The question is, what is truth, isn't it? John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Worship God in truth. Worship God in harmony with his will. My friends, if something is not found in the Word of God, it is prohibited. It's that simple. If you cannot find it in the Word of God, then you and I are not to offer it unto God in worship. Because my worship is to be in harmony with truth. So here's the question. Where in the New Testament of Jesus Christ do you find instruments of music in worship to God? You can't find it in this book. It's not there. And if it's not there, guess what? It is prohibited. Where do you find anything other than the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine on the Lord's table? It is not in the New Testament. You can't have steak and baked potatoes. You can't have cookies and Kool-Aid. You can't have just anything that's available. We'll just use it. No, you can't do that. If it's not in the Word of God, it is what? Prohibited. And the only thing in the Word of God is unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. Where do you find the first century church gathering and men and women and children rushing down to the front and giving their testimonials? Oh, they're warm-hearted. They're gut-wrenching. They're emotional. They stir the fever of all the members of the congregation. They bring individuals to a high emotional pitch. But where is such practice in worship to God in the first century? It's not there, folks. You can't find it. Where do you find the first century church having skits and plays and drama in worship to the Almighty God? Don't find that. You find preaching, teaching of the Word of the living God. You see, if it's not in the Word of God, it is what? Prohibited. Thou shalt not. And guess what? I find a lot of people, even in the church, they don't like to be told what to do. You know that? It don't matter who's telling them. No matter whether it's a preacher, doesn't matter whether it's elders, and it doesn't matter whether it is God Almighty, don't tell me what to do. And especially if it comes to a prohibition. There are some individuals that are so bold about their disrespect and their disobedience that they do something like this. I don't care what you say, I'll do it. And I will splash it in your face if I have to. Folks, I'd be careful with that kind of an attitude, wouldn't you? These prohibitions are serious as far as God is concerned. In Genesis, the 4th chapter, there were two men who came before God to offer up worship unto God, did they not? A young man by the name of Abel, he came with the firstling of his flock, and guess what? His offering was acceptable unto God. Another young man by the name of Cain came, and he brought of the fruit of the ground because he was a farmer. The Bible says, and unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto him, why art thou wroth, and why has thy countenance fallen? Listen to what God says. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Genesis chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. My friends, this thing called worship is serious as far as God is concerned. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice unto God than Cain. How does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, 17. Abel heard what God wanted him to do, and he did exactly what God had told him to do, and he was acceptable unto God. Cain brought up something else. He brought something that was prohibited, something that wasn't acceptable as far as God is concerned, something that wasn't commanded. And God rejected that sacrifice. My friends, you can't bring whatever you want to bring and be pleasing to God. God wants His worship to be as He prescribes it and not as we desire it. And there are prohibitions to worship. Point number 3. Worship is pricey. Listen to what he says. Thou shalt not what? Sacrifice. Worship is supposed to be a sacrifice unto God. A Jew, when he went to God, he would go out first and he would look throughout all of his herd and throughout all of his flocks. And guess what he would find? He would find the best one of them all. The best. He would gather that animal. He would bring it to the temple area. He would place it upon the altar of sacrifice. He would lay his hands upon that sheep or that oxen or that goat. And the priest would then slit the throat of that animal, and they would watch the lifeblood flow from that beast. And that animal that used to be my prized possession, that one that could have brought me much money, that one that could have been used in order to further my flocks, is now lying there drenched in blood and dead in sacrifice to God. Worship cost a Jew something. It was a sacrifice. In like manner, isn't our worship supposed to be a sacrifice to God as well? You know, I'm reminded of David in 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter. A plague had broken out among the people of God. The plague was due to David's fault. He was told to go to Jebus, which would eventually become Jerusalem. When there, he found the threshing floor of a man by the name of Araunah. When Araunah saw David, the king, coming, he says, "What are you here for?" He says, "I'm here to sacrifice." Araunah said, "Here, take my threshing floor, take the oxen, free of charge, sacrifice." And the king said unto Araunah, "Nay. But I will buy it of thee for a price. For I will not offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which cost me nothing." Folks, David understood worship. 2 Samuel 24:24. If I'm going to sacrifice, then it's going to have to cost me something. Shouldn't it cost us something? You know, our worship is not nearly as cumbersome as the worship under Judaism, is it? I'm glad I don't have to raise animals. I'm not too good at that stuff. I'm glad I don't have to travel hundreds of miles in order to get to the city of Jerusalem at the three appointed feast days. I'm glad I don't have to do that. I'm certainly glad that I don't have to load up an animal and take him that far. I didn't even like traveling with a dog in the car. Much less a calf at my hip. And folks, they had to load up not only the sacrifice, but they had to load up all the ingredients that were necessary for those sacrifices as well. The system of Judaism was cumbersome. It was difficult. It was rigorous. It was what Paul refers to as a yoke of bondage. Man, we've got a hard time at worship, don't we? I mean, we got to get up at 8:30 or 9 o'clock to get here at 10. We got to drive in an air-conditioned or heated car for 4 or 5, maybe 15, 20 miles. We've got to come into an air-conditioned or heated building and sit in padded pews. Oh, it's just killing me. And what I find is that brethren still don't want to sacrifice. Make worship just as short as you can get it, preacher. Don't go overtime. Come just as sloppy as you can possibly dress to worship. Don't want to have to get up, put a little energy in the way I dress. God forbid that. Me take part, me tell, not me. I just want individuals to stand up before me and perform. And if it's good, I'll clap. And if it's not, well, I'll go home and complain about them over the dinner table. And then after I paid all the bills and after I had all my fun, then I'll get my checkbook out and I'll give you whatever's left of that bountiful portion that you have blessed me with. I mean, isn't that what we pray about? Folks, worship to God is pricey. Worship to God is supposed to be a sacrifice before God. It's time we change some attitudes about our worship. Point number four. Worship to God is pointed. Thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. Our worship is directed in one place and one place only, and that is to the throne of the Almighty God. That God is great, that God is good, that God is powerful, that God is majestic, that God is eternal, that God is our Redeemer and our Creator. He is the sustainer of all life. He is the one and only God. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39. Now therefore know this, and consider it in thine heart, that God is God of heaven above and of earth beneath, and there is none else. My friends, there is no other God to worship. There is no other being to worship. And when you and I come into this building on Sunday mornings, our worship is being directed toward the God of heaven, is it not? God is a spirit, and they that worship Him, John 4, 24. That God is still just as great, marvelous, powerful, majestic, glorious, as He ever has been. And you and I are bowing before the throne of the Almighty when we come into this building. We need to realize where our worship is going. And it is pointed heavenward unto God. Point number five. Worship can be perverted. Can it? Thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish or evil frowardness. Question, was it possible for a Jew to offer up worship that was one of these kind of animals? One that had a blemish? One that had some kind of bad stuff within it? Oh, you bet he could do it. Now, can you imagine going out into your flocks, and you're looking your flocks over, and way off over there in the corner of the field is your prized calf. Prized calf. Gorgeous, beautiful, strong, stout. Going to grow up to be a bull that you just couldn't even ever imagine. Look at that thing. You've had friends come by, they brag about your big old calf. And then you look down and you see one laying on the ground. Barely can move. You see his ribs. Looks up at you with those old big eyes. Just kind of, And you know, in a day or two, guess what? He's gone. He's dead. Now what am I going to do? Am I going to chase around my bull and catch him? Or am I just going to take that weak, sickly little thing who's going to die anyway and just offer him to God? I mean, it's a sacrifice. Could a person do that? Oh, you bet they could. And guess what? They did. Just a moment ago, Kevin read from the book of Malachi, did he not? Malachi chapter 1, 7 and 8. God is confronting the Israelites, and He says this, "Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar." Polluted bread. "And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of God is contemptible." Now listen to what He says. "If ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the sick and lame, is it not evil? My friends, it is possible to offer up unto God polluted worship. It is possible for you and I to offer up unto God perverted worship. And the Jews did it in the days of Malachi, and it was condemned by God then. And when individuals do it today, it is still condemned. I cannot imagine churches of Christ changing the day of worship from the first day of the week to Saturday nights. That is perverted worship. I cannot imagine congregations of the Lord's people bringing in pianos and organs and bands in worship to the Almighty God. That is perverted worship. I cannot imagine individuals connecting a regular common meal to the Lord's Supper. That is perverted worship. I cannot imagine bringing individuals in who are choirs and quartets and solos for a big performance before the audience as worship to the Almighty God. Humming and hand clapping and all kinds of emotional rigmarole going into the services, the dimming of the lights, perverting the worship of the Almighty God. It's possible for individuals to change the worship of God to such a point that He will not tolerate it. How do I know that? I know that because of point number 6. Worship is proved by God. Listen to what He says. Thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish or evil favoredness. Now listen. For that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Remember a while ago I told you our worship is being directed in a certain manner, is it not? Our worship is being directed toward the heavens. And it is the God of heavens who is proving. It is the God of heaven who is testing. It is the God of heaven who is judging whether our worship is right or whether it is wrong in His sight. Our worship can come before God and it can be just as acceptable as it possibly can be. Or it can come up to God and it can be an abomination unto Him. That word abomination is a strong word and it literally means disgusting. Can you imagine worshiping God and it goes before the throne of heaven and He looks down upon it and He says, that's disgusting. And I will not accept it. Folks, here's the key. You can write this down. You can memorize it, whatever. Here's the key. In order for our worship to be acceptable unto God, it needs to be as God wants, when He wants it, and where He wants it. God holds the key to acceptable worship, not you and I. I know today there are thousands upon thousands of individuals worshiping throughout the United States of America. And folks, the bulk of that worship is polluted, tarnished, tainted, and is an abomination unto the Almighty God. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Yet Jesus spoke of the Jews and said, in vain they do worship Me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew 15:9. In vain. It's empty. It's useless. It's worthless. It's not acceptable unto God Almighty. If it was possible then, it's possible today. My friends, you and I, when we come together on the Lord's Day, we come together in this assembly, it is to prostrate ourselves before the majestic throne of the Almighty God. And God takes that seriously. And it is a sobering matter. It is not something for us to play with. How in the world can a child of God arise upon the first day of the week and say, maybe I will, or maybe I won't worship my God? Just that kind of thinking is an abomination unto God. It's disgusting. And when we come, we want our worship to be acceptable unto Him, don't we? We want it to rise before His throne as a sweet-smelling savor, well-pleasing in His sight. Worship. A vital aspect of the Christian's life. My friend, the only way that you and I can properly worship God is to first be in a right relationship with Him. Are you a child of God? We want you to be this morning. The steps are simple, aren't they? If you believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you're willing to repent of sins, confess His name. I want you this morning to be buried with Him in water for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." I arise a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Having all my sins forgiven and in a right relationship with God. Dear Christian, have you heard from the faith? Maybe you've had trouble with worship. Maybe you need to repent of sin and come back. Won't you come as we stand and sing?